Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Zebra Stripes podcast. I'm Coach Gene Clemens, joined by Coach Whit LeJour. What episode are we on now?
I'm saying 14.
Okay, I'm saying 14.
Lucky 14, since I didn't do anything with the, you know, lucky 13 or unlucky, if you will. So this is lucky 14.
Okay, lucky 14, and it's close to St. Patty's Day, so not a bad thing at all. How awesome is it, by the way, that you get St. Patrick's Day on the first round, the legit first round of the NCAA tournament? I think that's...
Yeah, I think it's awesome. You got a lot going on, and even for me to have our school vacation line up with this first couple of days of the tournament is awesome too. So no interference.
Yeah, and I got lucky. I get lucky because I live in Savannah, and St. Patrick's Day is like a city holiday here. So we actually get off for St. Patrick's Day and the day after. So we get a 4-day weekend to roll through.
That's pretty good. I mean, if you're going to get St. Patrick's Day off, then it stands to reason that you'd get the day after St. Patrick's Day off too, because you know, a lot of people might need it.
Well, you would think so, but last year we didn't, because St. Patrick's Day fell on a Wednesday, and I don't think we had enough days to give us, you know, all those days off. But I guess on a Thursday, they can make it happen. I'm assuming that next year, when it's on Friday, most likely, that we'll get Friday off, but maybe not like Monday. So I'm grateful for whatever it is we're getting. I'll take it. And like you said, no distractions. And even better, because it's going to be like the craziness of St. Patrick's Day here, everything is going to really be concentrated downtown, which means that I could find a really nice establishment to post up at that's probably going to be next to empty, where I can sit back and just, you know, have some drinks and watch the game almost unbothered, which is kind of how I like to consume the first couple rounds.
And my question, speaking of consumption, would be, do you typically include green beers as part of your consumption or other such colored items of the liquid variety? Or do you stay away from that on St. Patrick's Day?
Oh, no. I like to lean in. I like to lean in when it comes to the drinks.
So you lean into the green?
Yep, I lean into the green. And it's pretty simple to lean into the green, since all you need is like a drop of blue dye, you know, blue food coloring, in order to really make the green happen when you're talking about a beer. I think that drinks get a little bit more, mixed drinks or whatever, get a little bit more problematic with it, because now what do you really want to be mixing together? But I definitely, if I'm drinking beer, I will go make it a point to make my beer green. But not so green that when I drink it, my teeth turn green. That's ridiculousness. So,
and what do you think of non-Irish folks like myself, say, that are just getting, you know, blitzed on an Irish holiday? That always made me somewhat uncomfortable. Like, here, I'm gonna, you know, I'm just. Pardon me? Oh, well, fair enough. So I guess the question's broader, because my better half is saying, well, if you've got some type of conflict, inner turmoil with getting blitzed on St. Patrick's Day, do you have the same issue with Cinco de Mayo or any other holiday for that matter? So, you know, so do you, you know, do you, can you just celebrate the days without having to be?
I think it all depends on you and what you're doing. I don't like the idea of making a mockery of the people on the day. But celebrating the day, I believe, is completely okay. So I'm not with, like, the people who get dressed up and, like, you know, become, like, Irish on.
Right.
Because, like, I feel like you're making a caricature out of the day. Yep. But if, you know, the celebration is the celebration and you want to put some green on, absolutely, definitely do that. Make sure that you, if you're in Savannah, make sure that you get the Say Less Sports Tees official St. Patrick's Day Savannah 2022 t-shirts that are out right now for $20 a piece. You want to make sure you get those because, I mean, that's a collector's item. But as far as like me dressing up like an Irishman or something like that, probably not. I think that's a little bit much. The same way that I don't all of a sudden become Mexican on Cinco de Mayo, but I will, you know, imbibe my fair share of good tequila in solidarity with my Mexican brothers.
Yeah. Well, I made a mockery out of myself mostly with one of my former Irish players who, you know, in the middle of a practice, when he did something, I said, well, you're a pretty lucky guy. I mean, being a leprechaun and all of that. And what I didn't know that I learned very quickly is that like the leprechaun is not something that's didn't know that, of course. So I said, geez, and he was very forgiving and I learned something, but I, you know, stupid me. I thought the leprechaun was like a good thing, but not so much.
Nope. Yeah. It's interesting in history about, and you know, that, and we won't nerd out on it because we've got so much more to talk about. But speaking of luck and the luck of the Irish, we come upon what I consider to be the most wonderful time of the year. NCAA tournament. We're here again. The final conference tournaments were played. For those that are wondering, this show is being recorded on Monday. So before the first four tomorrow, and obviously after the selections have already been made, and we know what everybody's doing. So the question is, as it always is, who's going to the Final Four? You know, like, that's what we all want to know. We could argue over who got left out, but in truth, if you're somewhere close to the bottom people, then there's a good chance you may not have deserved to get in. And I think it's very interesting that there's some 23-win teams that were left on the doorstep this year. But ultimately, just, you know, you gotta do better. As far as scheduling, you've got to do better as far as winning the games that really, really matter. And
I'm probably going to, you know, help this team out. So, you know, you asking about the Final Four and everything. So I'll tell you who I don't have advancing, sticking with the theme of the, opening. I don't have the Fighting Irish advancing. So now that I've said that, the way that
the Final Four,
they're probably one of the great sleepers of this tournament. I'm giving them the hex, so they're probably in good shape, and Coach Bray will be happy to learn that Zebra Stripes gave them no chance. I mean, so that's someone I don't have advancing. Although again, I have said from the beginning, wide open year. You hinted at the fact, historically speaking, long shots don't have a great statistical chance of making it to the Final Four. And as much as I looked at this bracket again and said, you know, yep, this is wide open, when I had to put my money where my mouth was, I didn't take a lot of long shots advancing, although I will say I did not move all the one seeds to the Final Four either. So you want me to, you know, keep the suspense going and start somewhere else, or?
Well, I think it's interesting because I don't know if I have any, I don't know if I have anything that's like amazing, but I guess we'll hold off on the four. Upset specials. Who do you think right now has a good chance of getting that first round, second round, maybe even upset? going to the Sweet 16, doing a little.
I'll tell you a couple teams that I think have it in them, and that doesn't mean I necessarily picked it either, because like I said, for the second year in a row, I just found myself picking a lot of favorites. But this Chattanooga team, I think, has a really good chance. I think Colorado State, if you give them a six, has a good chance to – flying under the radar, good team. I'm not sure if they qualify. Chattanooga's a 13, but I think Colorado State could cause some damage. Murray State, it's talking about a team that won a lot of games. Where the heck were they seeded?
They're actually the favorite.
Okay. So, I mean, hard to call them too much of a upset special, but possibly a sexy peak. Pick. I think some people, obviously, in the Northeast are going to like Vermont and be kind of curious what Vermont might do. I'll probably be off the, you know, I took Arkansas over them. I just wasn't going to buy into the all the hype, but you know, I think Vermont and some, I think Jay Billis picked Vermont over Arkansas. So, I mean, that's not out of the question. So those are my starters.
So for me, the 13-4 is where I locked in at. I looked at all of those games and I thought, I believe that there are two potential upsets, and I believe all four teams cover. I believe all four teams cover the spread. Okay. I think that South Dakota State has a better than a puncher's chance to beat Providence.
Okay.
Because South Dakota State plays a style of basketball that is one that, for some reason, no longer exists in the Big East. The Big East has turned back into 3 yards and a cloud of dust, if we're talking about a football analogy. And South Dakota State, they've been running, and they've been up and down. I think South Dakota State has as much chance this year to be Oral Roberts. In fact, they crushed Oral Roberts several times this year. And I think that they are a legitimate pick to get out of the first weekend. That's how high I am on them.
Yeah, I like that pick. I couldn't go with it myself since I coached Eddie Cooley back in prep school in 1989. So, and he's, you know, I that's a real interesting one too, because people are wondering how Providence reacts to the 30-point beatdown that they absorbed in the Big East tournament. So I just said, well, Eddie's one thing I know about Eddie, he'll get off the mat. So, the other thing that I weighed in on with some of these picks, I've started doing it in recent years. I think it's a bigger factor than I used to consider. But location, where the games are being played. So do you know where that Providence – I think it's out west. But I'm not
– They're in the South. No.
Sorry. Right, but that doesn't mean anything.
The South. They're in the Midwest bracket. Yeah. I don't know exactly where the game is off the top of my head, but I'm going to look at it. No, it's in Buffalo.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. So that put – okay. So, for instance, so for me, okay, and I'm just – right, because when you look at the regions, that has nothing to do with where the games are being played anymore because the game – right? So when I saw that, I was looking at that game, even though I still would have defended my guy Ed, but I said, okay, Providence is not losing in Buffalo, but if you sent them out to Denver and played that game, or you sent them to San Antonio and played that game, or anywhere else, you get my drift. Now I like South Dakota more, but you're asking South Dakota to travel across the country and to a place where they're not likely to get the same type of upset special backing that they might if the game was somewhere else. So I think that's part of the formula myself. And I take that into consideration with my 50-50 picks, regardless of seeding.
I think that's a good thought process. For me, I just look at all the pressures on Providence with whom they have, with the team that they have, it almost became a veteran laden team by mistake. There were guys that they have who people thought might be one and done, 2 years and done, that ended up staying longer than they thought. And with that, is this their best shot to make a run? And if this is their best shot, that brings pressure. And South Dakota State won't be playing with any pressure because they're playing Providence in Buffalo. So I think that's part of it. Also, I really like this Jack Rabbits team. Like I just like the way they score. They've got a bunch of guys who put the ball in the cup. And you know how much I favor teams who can put the ball in the basket on a regular basis.
I'm gonna take the Friars by more than 12 in that game, just so we know we have a different. I'm gonna take the Friars, just locking them down. I mean, just so. Not because I'm trying to be argumentative. You said you look at certain things. My wife looks at the color of the uniforms, for God's sake. I look at the cheerleading uniforms, maybe. When I saw USC, I was at a regional game in Philadelphia, and USC, it was with Harold Miner. And my God, and I think they were playing, I can't remember, it couldn't have been Villanova in Philly, but they were playing a Duke. I think it was Duke, USC Duke maybe, at least Duke was in that regional. But it was a very, you know, tried and true blue blood team. And all of a sudden the USC cheerleaders came out. And I got to be honest with you, before there was 5 minutes into the game, I said, well, I'm rooting for this team. That was the first time, that was early on in the dance, you know, when these dance teams, they were operating on a whole different level. So you got to factor in who brings the hottest cheerleaders.
Well, I mean, it's USC, so they're clearly going to bring the best-looking cheerleaders, or at least some of the best-looking cheerleaders. Sorority Row at USC is legendary. So
yeah.
With that being said, trying to keep you out of trouble for the rest of the night.
Yeah, no, there's a good chance I'll get backhanded for that one. So,
hey, you know, sometimes you got to risk it. Sometimes you have to risk it. The Illinois-Chattanooga game is one that I think could be one that covers. I think Illinois is going to probably be too tough for them inside. They'll win it, but they don't always like to score. Some days they're hot, some days they're not. So I think that's another 13-4 game that I would take a cover. I think Vermont gets it done versus Arkansas. I really do. I think the SEC has been wildly overrated all season. And even though you think that one day your boy down is going to bring a banner to Bama.
Yeah.
I don't see anybody in the SEC getting close to bringing a banner home this year. And I think
Arkansas. I don't think that conference is as overrated as, you know, the ACC, and this year, I don't think the ACC was a question of being overrated. It was just flat out down.
Yeah, but, it just wasn't that good.
Right. But so I think the SEC is a hell of a conference. And I think a coach with the lineage that Eric Musselman has, that's another reason why I couldn't vote against him. Bill Musselman's son, it's not his first rodeo. Let's just put it that way. So I put that chip in his column when I was debating that one myself.
You know who else isn't going to be frazzled by the moment? Anybody at Vermont. They've been here before. They've done this. This is what they do. They walk into the tournament as an underdog because they don't get the love that a Gonzaga gets. When Gonzaga's playing less than stellar competition as well, they don't get that love and end up rising up to a one seed. And so, like, they end up as the underdog in situations where they probably should not be the underdog. If you're telling me that Vermont is not a better team this year than Boise State, then I say, okay, well, prove it. Because Boise State's an 8 seed. And I'm like, why is Boise State an 8 seed? So I'll take my chances. I like that that upset there. That's when I put in a bracket for them to cover. And then the last 13 The last 13-4 Akron.
Oh, yeah.
I think Akron plays some tough basketball, man. And there's been a few times this year where UCLA has laid an egg, and I don't know if they can just turn it on and turn it off.
So this is why we call this Zebra Stripes, because the contrast is tremendous. So first of all, let me just back up for a second. Your offhanded comparison of the West Coast Conference, WCC, to America East is outrageous. So there is a very big difference between who Gonzaga historically has played against, when people don't give that conference any love, and playing, the UMaines, and, you know, with all due respect to my former home and place I have great love for, New Hampshire Wildcats and Hartford, who's going to Division III. I just can't compare that. So I think actually Vermont's going to have negative pressure because maybe they expect something more out of themselves than they're able to deliver. I say that with all due respect to John Becker, the coach, because they're a good team, but I don't feel that one quite the way you do. And, you know, I'm all in on UCLA. I'm all in on the East Coast bias. I'm all in. They showed me what they could do last year. They got two studs back. Mick Cronin brought a little freaking Midwest toughness to the Bruins. So, you know, there's really not a team in this tournament that hasn't laid an egg of one kind or another. So I like UCLA as one of my high value advanced teams in this tournament. And that's coming from someone that years ago would never have made that pick.
Yeah, I think UCLA wins. I'm not picking Akron to.
Okay. I thought you had the zips.
I told you I had two upsets.
Did you tell me who they were?
Yeah, South Dakota State and Vermont. I think those are the two upsets.
Okay.
The other two I just believe will cover. I think they'll cover the spread. I don't think UCLA will beat Akron by 13.5 points.
You know the biggest upset I think I might have picked in my bracket, and you'll like it, even though I'm betting again against one of my own, is anybody against St. Mary's. So I think St. Mary's, like you called them, you know, rightfully probably one of the most boring teams you watch. I don't buy the 5 seed for them either. And so I like Indiana or Wyoming in the first four coming out of that and taking care of St. Mary's. I have a couple other like 12-5, 11-6s, but
yeah,
that's one of them.
My biggest problem with St. Mary's is they're Virginia-esque.
Right.
They're Virginia-esque, but they're not Virginia. So
you
play that kind of ball, and you can get lucky and have a night where your defense is able to sustain enough to get to beat a Gonzaga that might be taking you lightly. But in the tournament, when everybody knows it's win or die. Like, I don't know. I'm with you. I don't like them at all in here. And I'm hoping that I'm right. That way I don't have to watch St. Mary's play basketball much longer. Just because I don't want to watch that in the tournament. Hopefully it's a true TV production.
Did one region or another stand out to you as tougher when you were looking?
I don't know about tougher. I think that Gonzaga has the easiest path to the championship.
I don't believe I can see. Right. So I agree with that. I thought the South with Arizona, Houston, Tennessee, Ohio State, and Villanova. I thought the South was perhaps the toughest to get out of.
I mean, that makes sense. You also,
yeah.
I mean, this, I think the Midwest is interesting. I don't know if it's tough, but it's interesting.
Yeah, I like the Midwest. I think it's very interesting teams.
A lot of good matchups.
That's why I had trouble. And so I had trouble. It took some, and I do think that this thing could go a bunch of ways, but ultimately. So
I'm surprised they didn't manufacture a Wisconsin Michigan second round rematch because it was there. I mean, Michigan was an 11 seed. You could have easily flipped them in Iowa State. To me, the selection committee swung and missed right there. That's a swing and miss.
Yep. It shows you that Michigan
beats LSU.
I think say that again.
I think Michigan would beat LSU.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's some teams like that where Michigan, they're a dangerous team this tournament, obviously. I think they're a dangerous team. And there's a lot of dangerous teams, but they're one for sure that are they just going to get on fire, or are they, has there been so much swirling around that when you lose 14 games, you just losing your 15th isn't that big a deal? I wasn't sure. So not sure what to do with Michigan. I didn't have them going too far.
There's something to be said about. I'm sorry.
I was going to say the other thing is, the Big Ten had 9 teams in again last year, having only one get through the first weekend. So, I mean, I would think the Big Ten got a rousing motivational speech from their commissioner saying, "Hey, look, fellas, we can't have a repeat of last year." So I was already all in on a couple Big Ten teams that I've mentioned in this pod before that we'll get to. So I couldn't take them all, and God forbid, because, again, that conference always looks good until the games are played.
Yeah, yep. Or you have a year where they all click, and then you end up with 4 of the Elite Eight being Big Ten teams, because we've seen that.
Could happen.
I think what ends up is can those Big Ten teams, are those Big Ten teams going to be able to come into the tournament somewhat healthy? I think there were a lot of people who were kind of down last year. There were injuries last year, made it more difficult for teams to make a run. When you're going through a meat grinder like the Big Ten, though, that's why you get so many in. This is what used to happen with the ACC when they used to get so many in. Or with the Big East when they used to get so many in. Like when you're clearly the best, in my opinion, the best basketball conference that year, and you're just kind of like knuckling up versus each other every night.
Right.
You're gonna have more losses, and now when you get into the tournament where everybody doesn't have the full dossier on you, you get a chance to kind of hit the reset button and make some waves.
Yeah. And that's where, getting back to the whole idea, some of these question mark teams, how they're going to respond to what's been going on lately. We've talked before, these conference tournaments, like what's in it for the winner, what's in it for some of the losers. So on one hand, like Eddie Cooley and Providence take just a monster loss that no one sees coming. So what's the response there after a phenomenal season, right? Winning the Big East regular season. Okay, on the opposite side, flip side of that, Virginia Tech rolls over Duke. Can Virginia Tech ride that mojo? Or was that just kind of a weekend deal? All sorts of question marks for me kind of rolling around this bracket. I had to do some funny things with Creighton, late season success, but down their star player too. So like, is Creighton this good or that good? At the end of the day, I went back to some, I went with three, I just went with what I trusted and kind of went against myself with one pick. So the fact that I didn't take Kansas as one of my final four picks is betting really against myself, because I'm an all-in Kansas guy, all-in on Bill Self. pretty all in on their team, but I know, see, so I went back to my initial reactions at the start of the year, and I watched Kansas play, and I went, eh, this isn't the best Kansas team I've ever seen. Now, that's before I realized the rest of the country wasn't that good either, okay? Yeah. But I said, eh, this Kansas team, and Remy Martin, not, you know, played at Arizona State for a couple of years, so Hurley definitely screwed him up with the point guard play. You know, we see Arizona State's wild. So with all due respect to the Hurley family, you know, Remy Martin, I don't know. I'm not sold, and hopefully he'll make me look like an idiot in the tournament. But, yeah, so I just said, okay, I'm not buying stock in Kansas the way I ordinarily might. Early in the year, and you might remember me saying it, you know, I put the jinx on a bunch of teams, but Iowa, loved Iowa. Yeah. And they got into some midseason trouble, finished pretty damn strong, playing pretty good. You know what? I came back to Iowa, took them as my, you know, a five seed in the Final Four. Because, again, consistent with my idea that this thing is not all going to go according to form because there's less form than ever. So I took Iowa advancing, another team. Obviously, you've heard me rail on about over the years. You could probably guess where I'm going to go with this one is Purdue. You know, Purdue has that two-headed monster up front. Ivy, you know, unbelievable guard. Matt Painter, you know, like him. Like I like Jay Wright and McKillop or a few of these other guys.
Not as good looking, though.
Yeah, well, I know not maybe doesn't win that contest, but, you know, I'm not going to get into that conversation about who's a good-looking guy or not. I mean, I think that was on one of the pods I actually I mean, if you want to go there with all the coaches.
I'm just saying we can keep it a buck. We don't have to say, you know, we don't have to talk about who's the best looking, but we can acknowledge that one is just not that handsome.
Yeah.
You know. And I think if we were just saying like straw poll Matt Painter, nah. Not going to be the guy.
Okay.
Doesn't dress as well. You know, probably doesn't even have the same level of swagger.
Yeah.
You know, but a good coach. A good coach. Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I might be picking five teams here, so I might have to go back and look at my bracket because I think by the time I'm done here, I have five teams. No, I don't, because I got who the hell? I must have Gonzaga losing in the Elite Eight, I think. But I'd have to go back and look at my bracket again to see if I got them. I don't have it in front of me. Hey, look it, I love Arizona. I'm all in. Just got a chance to see him really more up close recently. And the more so I'm taking Arizona as my Gonzaga 2.0. You know, Tommy Lloyd, unbelievable story by the time it comes around. You know, they're supposed to be down after the Sean Miller stuff. And then I watched him play and just went, oh, my God. And I know you'd like him as a pace and space team that plays both ends, efficiency ratings on both ends really good. So and a little bit of my wife, you know, I mean, being from the desert and all, showing some Arizona some love. But I'm all in on Arizona. And yeah, I'm in on Arizona beating Purdue. So I think I have Purdue taking down Gonzaga in the Final Four game. That's what I got. I got Purdue beaten, and then I got Arizona taking down Iowa to get there.
Okay, so your Final Four.
Yes.
So I'm clear. Purdue. Yeah. Iowa.
Yeah.
Gonzaga. Arizona.
Yeah.
So out of curiosity, who do you have popping Baylor? Do you have Arizona popping? I mean, do you have Purdue popping Baylor?
I think that's what I got. Is that where that game would take place, maybe in the 16 game? Again, I don't have it in front of me right now.
I think that would happen in the Elite Eight, I believe. Oh no, that would happen in. Yeah, it would happen in the Elite Eight.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and again, that might I have to you know apologize to the listeners for
not being able. Baylor is going to be a fight.
And if I'm not mistaken, that was a game again where I went to location. I went to check where that game was being played. If I'm not mistaken, I don't know. You might have it there if you can tell me where that game's being played. I had it where I thought the Purdue fan base would travel better. You know, can't remember where it was. It was not. I think it was another one of my location games.
I'm not sure where it is, but
it's all right. I paid a lot of attention. I paid a lot of attention to location.
You gave location a lot of.
All things being equal, and I don't think it's going to play the kind of role I'm suggesting it might in all these games. But just you know it. You've seen the same thing I have. It can matter. You know, all things being equal, it can really matter. So. It can matter a lot. So, I paid a lot of attention to it, I guess. No, I'll tell you what, though. I mean, to get to my four, right, I knocked out a lot of teams I like a lot, okay? So, my next – you know, it's kind of like my next four out, right? You know, kind of like when you talk about making the tournament. Teams that I love, I mean, I've already – whoa.
Yeah. Thank you. Teams that Hello. You love what?
Yeah. Sorry, and my music came up in front of me all of a sudden. Kansas, okay. So I didn't take them because I took Iowa because I kind of said, well, I can't go all ones. Texas Tech, love them. Love Texas Tech as a, you know, but I think they're a three, if I'm not mistaken. Love them. Could potentially very easily be a Final Four team. I've talked about Duke all along, all year, Krzyzewski's last ride. I maybe we'll get to that. Definitely, I don't love them, but, you know, because they got a lot of chinks in the armor, but possibly a team that could do some damage for sure. I think Houston is a team. That's not to mention Tennessee. Love Tennessee. Love Tennessee as a – you know, team that not everyone, you know, people think of them more as football school than basketball school. They're another three seed. So I think those threes and fours, I mean, you know, I think Villanova's overrated. So I could see Villanova losing earlier, which, again, you're taking your life in your hands betting against Villanova. I think it's kind of like betting against Bill Belichick when he has time to prepare for someone. Good luck. They're going to cover the spread probably. But I'm not all in on Villanova, and then Kentucky, and I'm Jesus Christ, I'm leaving out freaking Auburn. I mean, there's just, you know, like
there's a lot of games this year. You didn't even mention UCLA, and you started all of this by talking about how all in you were with UCLA. So
yeah, I'm in. That tells you how crazy it is. And right? I think I got them. I think I got them in the. I think they match up with Purdue somewhere along the line to get there. That's where I get them knocked. I had a choice to make, and I just went with Painter. And I'm pretty sure – and that was a location game. That game's in Philly, I think. I think that regional that they're in is in Philly. So I have, again, UCLA traveling east to play Purdue, blue-collar school in Pittsburgh or wherever the hell – it's not Pittsburgh. It's Philly. So I went with my location again. Location, 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 just like real estate, which is up these days.
So for me, I just like to go on record as saying that I think North Carolina gets knocked out in the first round. I don't have any faith in the Tar Heels. And I say that with all the sadness in my voice. Because as you know, I like to put the Tar Heels on a run. Even when I don't necessarily think they deserve to be on a run, I just can't do it this year. I don't think they're that good.
I got them handling. I'll go another plus 10 over Marquette. I got the Tar Heels in a lock over Marquette.
I think Marquette has one of those games that Marquette has where all of a sudden, you know, they're scoring. North Carolina has games where they forget how to score. I don't know. I don't have a lot of faith in them. And if they get past the first round, they're certainly not getting past Baylor, because Baylor's going to beat them up, because they're not they're not terribly tough. So
I'm just going to say Zebra, you know, there's the kiss of death. There's the jinx right there. Anyone smart, you just put it on them. Go out and bet UNC right now. Absolutely. Right there. I like where you're going with this. You're putting the negative voodoo on them because you really do want them to make a run. And I think they could get to the 16, but I took Baylor because I'm typically Baylor showed me something last year too. So I'm going to ride that train a little bit more than I ordinarily
like. I just like tough teams. Yeah. Whit, they're tough and they're deep. Tough, deep teams have a better chance of going deeper in the tournament than teams that are not as deep and that are not tough, which is why I'm kind of bullish on Michigan State. In Izzo we trust is my normal mantra this time of year. Tom Izzo, I don't like going against. Tom Izzo, I don't like going against Izzo. I don't particularly like, I don't particularly like going against certain coaches. Coach K is not one of those guys for me. I don't feel as if, oh my gosh, Coach K is going to come out with something miraculous. I think that Duke does whatever it is they do that year, and they just get better and better at it as the year goes along. But they run into Michigan State in the second round, and we can talk about it. But in Coach K's last ride, in his last go around, it's probably the worst like place you could put them in to have them as a two seed, and have to see potentially a Michigan State team with Izzo or a Davidson team who has been known to get hot and pull a Cinderella slipper out. I don't like it. I don't have Duke getting past the second round. What say you about Coach K and his last hurrah?
Well, I say this. I've got major questions.
Whit, you got to come back, because we're not hearing you over there. You sound far away.
I'm so sorry. Okay. I need to look out for my dog, Butler, listeners.
Okay. Sounds okay. Good. We're looking out for the dog.
Yeah, we're looking out for the dog. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Now I'm going to get slapped in the head for letting the dog out. Thank you, honey.
It's okay. It's okay. If the dog's got to go, the dog's got to go. And unfortunately, okay. Coach K has to go. In my scenario, I don't see Coach K getting beyond the second round.
I'll tell you what. I think if he does, then they might be a threat to go all the way. You know, he said when they lost their season, back in the last game of the year, the Carolina game, there was a lot of fight left in that team. Unfortunately, the players didn't necessarily believe it, because there was more fight in the Virginia Tech locker room in the tournament. So I'm kind of like you. I want to like Duke maybe a little more than I do. Be a feel-good story. I think he's probably going to get some help from the powers that be. But at the end of the day, I see him falling short also. I'm just not sure where, but I see him falling short, because they're a team that just doesn't have the toughness that you talked about. I also question your Michigan State. I mean, I'm a big Izzo fan myself, but like, what'd they finish, like seventh in the Big Ten? So that's the thing that took me, and I don't know if that they would finish that low. I think they might have. And I just looked and I said, okay, well, if you're finishing, you know, seventh in your league, I'm not. There's something wrong. So I'll tell you what, he does not have Magic Johnson at the point. He's got a kid that was in prep school 3 years ago, was a very good player at Northeastern, as a young player. You know, it's now at the on the biggest stage, so not to be confused with some Mateen Cleaves or anything else. So I don't think he's got the one thing at a position that he typically has had when they've been great either. So
absolutely, I would agree. I will also, but I also think that if I'm going by my theory of the Big Ten being better than every other conference, then I have to talk about the fact that Michigan State has played a top five Purdue and a top five Iowa really, really tough. That they've been right in there versus a Wisconsin team who's a pretty high seed, and Michigan, and, you know, like all of these teams that we're talking about, Illinois, they've played tough. Like all of these teams that they've played really well who are all high seeds outside of Michigan, you know, they've been right there. It's not like they were just getting blown out by these teams. Yep. Some of these games they were losing by 2, 3, 4 points. The swing was a shot here, a shot there. Now they have a road where they would potentially have to go through Davidson, Duke, Texas Tech, or Alabama if Alabama gets hot and makes a run. And then you're looking at Gonzaga on the other end, which is probably where the run comes to an end at, unless ... Izzo pulls another magic trick off. And we've seen him pull magic tricks off from the seven seed. So
no question.
You know, I think it's an interesting thing. Do I like them to upset Gonzaga? No. But I do like them to make a run. I do like them to make a run. For me, I have Gonzaga and Arizona as my chalk going through.
Yeah.
Then I have down on the bottom side, I have Purdue going. I'm like you. I like the two bigs.
Okay.
I think that it's gonna be effective because the teams that they see haven't seen it. And they hit enough threes with around them to keep them honest. If you get into that kind of game with them, they can score.
So we agree on something. That's unbelievable.
We do agree on that one. On the other side, I do not like Iowa to come out. I am on Kansas to make that run again.
Yeah.
I'm on Kansas to make that run again. Although I would not be surprised if Iowa's there.
Yeah.
I'd not be surprised.
I mean, that, you know, yeah, I bet again. I mean, honestly, I bet I use my head, not my heart on that pick. I just went in all in on the shot makers. I've seen Kansas not play. David McCormick is a huge X factor. I mean, you know, they've got a great wing. Achibayu, what is Kansas's great wing? He's a pro. He's a great player.
I can't pronounce those names. I don't even try.
Well, anymore. I can, but I can't at the moment. So I'm sorry about that. But
you're an international guy, so you know, as a guy, you embrace the international flair of Andy basketball. You should definitely have those names.
Well, and as a Kansas guy, I should too. But anyway, I said, well, they're good. I mean, I think they're a team that you're going to say they've had a great year, but. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to say it's someone else's turn. So I said maybe it is Iowa's turn, and that's how I kind of got there for lack of
coaches and point guards. That's how I normally go in the tournament. Coaches and point guards, and I don't think I've gone coaches and point guards this year.
Right.
Which is really interesting, and I'm afraid because anytime you start doubting Villanova, they end up hoisting a trophy.
So. We're both going to pay for not having them there.
Anytime doubt them, Jay Wright does something, things start clicking, all of a sudden they're hoisting a trophy.
I agree with you on that point.
Yeah.
When you fail to take Villanova advancing, you fail at your own risk. Like, you do so at your own risk. Yeah.
And, I mean, if we're looking at it, While we're thinking about it, who is the best point guard in the tournament right now, who pops out to you as okay, that's the guy. To me, it was Suggs last year.
Right.
He was the best point guard. Unfortunately, he just ran up against like a team full of grown ass men. Like a team, he was an 18-year-old going up against a bunch of grown ass men in Baylor.
Right.
Who also had like one of the toughest point guards I've seen over the last 5 years in basketball. So, like, who's that guy this year? Who's the guy that jumps on the radar and makes the run because he's the elite level point guard that can put the team on his back, as we've seen in college basketball, you know, countless amounts of times. There's always the point guards.
Right. Tournament
is not the bigs place. Bigs right. Normally get in foul trouble in tournaments.
Right. Who's the Kemba Walker?
Yeah.
Right. Or Shabazz Napier, you know. That's a great question. The kid I saw, and I don't think this fits the bill of what you're talking about, because I don't think he does it for the whole thing. But I'll tell you what, Virginia Tech's point guard the other night against Duke played his tail off. So I'm not sure he does it for an entire tournament, but he was a floor general extraordinaire. So there's one. I think a couple of these other teams have some great point guards that, again, I would be lying if I said I knew their names, but I've been reading up on them. So I'm not going to be.
San Francisco won't be an easy out for Murray State, by the way. Just want to.
Yeah.
San Francisco's going to be a tough matchup for Murray State.
And you know what I'm going to say to that. My response is going to be, tell me where that game's being played. Look down at your sheet. See? Look down at your sheet. Take a look. If I'm right, it might be Chicago. Is it?
It's Indianapolis. So
okay, so it's close to Chicago. It's Indianapolis.
Same difference.
That is how I took Murray State in Indianapolis over San Francisco. I went location. I had San Francisco traveling. You know, there was a lot of hype on them early in the year. I like them because my friend Kyle Smith at Washington State helped get that program going, and now Golden has done a great job with them, but. They came out east. I think Davidson shellacked them. Someone else did early on when they were getting a lot of love this year. And so, you know, they've righted the ship, and they had a great year, but they're still back in that WCC that you were, you know, making fun of earlier. So it's not like
I was about to go back to that because I wanted to push back against what you said about the what, like, no offense against the, you know,
America East.
The America East and it not being the level of the WCC. I don't think it's the level of the WCC now, but I would 100% compare what Vermont is in the America East to what Gonzaga was in the WCC for years. They were
a
dominant one bid league. Forever, and then
St. Mary's had some teams. St. Mary's might say something about that.
St. Mary's had a couple. They've had some squads.
But I mean, yeah, that's where the comparison stops. Though I agree with you, Vermont is the Gonzaga of the East, but it's just on a slightly different level. But they've done something no less impressive. Don't get me wrong; very, very impressed with what Vermont has. I mean, how could you not be?
And that's why I just feel like they're always in a prime spot to upset somebody.
Yeah.
They're always in a prime spot to upset somebody. It'll be interesting. Before we get out of here, because I want to have a chance to talk about it, because I know they're near and dear to your heart. KG goes and gets his jersey retired in Boston.
Right.
Great, great ceremony for as tough as KG comes off as. You can tell it was an emotional moment for him. But we got an opportunity to see KG and Ray Allen bury a hatchet that I think was only really a hatchet on KG's side. I don't really think Ray Allen had any beef with the guys with the Celtics. I think KG felt the way about the way in which Ray Allen left. And the rest of the guys who were left there just rallied around what KG said. So it was nice to see them come together and bury the hatchet. But there was something said there that I wanted to take a few minutes and kind of talk about. KG said, hey, you know, you're up next, in reference to Jersey retired. So, A, do you think that Ray Allen should have his jersey retired? B, do you think he will have his jersey retired?
Well, I mean, I think by the time KG got done, you're up next. I think he had Ed Lassert, the trainer, going into the Raptors too. So by the time he was done paying homage, he had a lot of people going into the Raptors. But when it comes to Ray Allen, I think he will. I don't think it's going to be anytime too soon, but I think it'll happen. And yeah, I would support that as an integral part of the big three, right? So is Mikhail up there in the Raptors? Is Parrish up there in the Raptors? Is Bird up there in the Raptors? You know, Ray Allen was a great player. Without him, they don't get that done. They're not the same team. I mean, a lot of times, right, you have to, that's tough because you got to say, well, where do you draw the line? But I think Ray Allen will get up there in time for a lot of reasons, including the way that the longevity of his career, you know, what he accomplished, you know, even above and beyond his time in Boston and the way he went about his craft. So I think that'll get him up there at a certain point. My question really was, as I looked up there in the rafters, at what point do you have to start like asking guys if we can reissue their uniform numbers? Like when does it get too much? Like there's no more numbers. That's what I was thinking to myself.
I mean, yeah, that's an issue.
You know, guys have a number, you know, great players in college, their own right. The next LeBron comes around, this and that, and he's worn XYZ number his whole life. You know, you got a great player. It's an unbelievable free agent. Like you see it in hockey sometimes, you know. Uh-huh. It's a free agent signing. The guy's worn this for, and he's a, you know, and all of a sudden you don't have his number. Like some of them are willing to wear anything. I know that, but it's like, oh God, right? I mean, 100 years from now, you got a problem. You don't have enough, you know, you're going to have all new numbers.
Yeah, I think, but this is what happens when you, how do I say it delicately? This is what happens when you celebrate a jersey or you retire someone's jersey for a championship.
Right.
And in my mind, Paul Pierce is the only one that should have his jersey retired, if we're really being honest. And that's because of all of the service before the big three and then the big three. But just to be on the big three side, that's really what has diminished it. It's like, okay, you won a championship. Do we then retire your jersey because you won a championship? If that's the level for every other team, that's okay. For the Lakers and for the Celtics, it's not going to roll.
So I think you make a great point. I think the Celtics, had they stayed healthy, obviously would have put up a couple others with KG. And I think that in his case, he not only won a championship, okay, but he restored a culture. I mean, in fact, he helped Pierce get up there himself anyway, but he restored his energy, his tenacity, his fire, all of it brought the Celtic mystique back to life, if you will. So I think that was beyond a championship. But your point might hold water, particularly as it relates to Ray Allen. Like, okay, is he now part of the big three simply because they won a championship? He gets in. So I hear you loud and clear. Good question.
Well, but here's the thing, because I don't want to – I think you can have a Hall of Fame.
Right.
You don't have to have a jersey – So like one of my biggest things about the Hall of Fame is people complain about the Hall of Fame especially in the NBA, because they're like, everybody gets in. And I'm like, no, everybody doesn't get in. But a lot of people who have been great get in because they should get in. They were great. It's a museum. This is what, you know, we want out of our museum. But I would love for there to be another level. And technically there is, because there's the Hall of Fame. And then there's the NBA top 75.
Right?
Yep. So just because you're a Hall of Famer doesn't mean you make that top 75.
Right.
So there's levels to these things. So I think for each team, you could have a team Hall of Fame or Ring of Honor or whatever it might be that doesn't require you to retire someone's jersey. But then for those special ones, for those ones that did something otherworldly, who spent an extremely long time with your organization, those are the numbers that go up in the rafters. And if you do that, then I feel, it's just me, you have Bird go up. And you have McCallum Parrish in the Ring of Honor, in the Hall of Fame. You don't have to retire all three of their jersey numbers, because it makes it seem like they were all on the same level, and you and I both know it was Bird, and then they were good.
Right.
But it was Bird.
Yep.
So, like, the Lakers are good, but it was Magic. It was Kareem. It was James Worthy. End. You know, like, the rest of the guys don't come into play. They should be honored, yes, but should they be thrown into the rafters? I don't know. I feel the same way about that with North Carolina basketball. I think there's too many numbers up there.
Well, you make a good point, astute journalist, sports journalist that you are. I even as much as I might want to argue with you on it, I don't know that I could. So you make a great point.
We come there. I'm interested to see what happens. I don't think Ray Allen gets into the rafters just because I don't think he is revered. Even with KG burying the hatchet, I don't know if he's as revered. Brady is back. Shout out to the Bucks and shout out to New England fans who get to continue to be Bucks fans for another year while they bandwagon Brady. We welcome you all with open arms. Baseball is back. I would say who cares, but I know some people do care. And I think that the Yankees have a good chance of winning the World Series this year. So I'm happy that they are back. Fernando Tatis starting the year on the IR, not happy about. He's one of my favorite players to watch. Our thoughts and our heartfelt, you know, sympathy are with Naomi Osaka and her situation. Maybe something that we want to tackle for another day, but there becomes the issue of, Is it just not going to be for her? Is he just not able to? Because you're going to get haters and hecklers wherever you go. She's going to start getting people who do it just because they know they can get the reaction. And if that's going to do something to her game where she can't play, you can't play tennis in a bubble. And I think this goes back to a little of our conversation that we were having about Ben Simmons. And only in this case, I don't think that Naomi Osaka is using this as a crutch. I really do believe that she has, you know, she has issues with these things and it affects her. And I feel bad, but there's no solution for this. There's no solution for this. So it's really awful. It's really sad to see a young talent get you know, get kind of stalled because of the actions of people who just can't be fans and, you know, enjoy the game.
Well, that's the solution, is getting back to a modicum of civility in our fandom and, you know,
common decency.
Respecting lines. And I just think there's still the hangover. I don't know to what end the pandemic played a role, but just a lot of angry people out there, honestly, that then go to games that right now athletes have to be on the receiving end of just more, you know, stuff that's reckless and abusive and criminal in some cases, for God's sake. So hopefully we all get back to our senses here in time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, that's another episode of the Zebra Stripes podcast. That is Coach Whit LeJure. I am Coach Gene Clemens. Make sure that you subscribe to the podcast wherever you find your podcast at. We're on another platform every single week. So as we continue to add more and more platforms that you can find us on, feel free to make sure that you follow us wherever you get your podcast. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, enjoy the tournament. We look forward to hearing about it. We look forward to watching it, and we will talk to you all next week.